Wendy's new Biggie Deals lets you choose whatever you're in the mood for. It's like a music mixing board of deals, and you're the producer. Go with some chill folk music with a JBC in the $4 Biggie Bite snack. Try the drum and bass of deals with a double stack in the $6 Biggie Bag. Or go full-on sandwich symphony with an $8 Biggie Bundle, the grand finale of snacking. And the best part? They all come with napkins! $4, $6, and $8 Biggie Deals how you want them. At Wendy's.
Price and participation may vary. Single items at regular price. Prices may be higher in Alaska, California, and Hawaii.
Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Elon Musk buying part of Twitter. What?
Yeah, he bought the largest stake in Twitter.
No one man should have all that power, as Kanye says.
But it's only 9% of the stake in Twitter. And I got to say, you know, the way free speech is going, maybe, just maybe,
Elon will be a little bit better. Musk is a weirdo.
Well, that... Duh. Yeah, that's 100% true.
I think that you can't have that much money without being really weird, though.
Well, yeah, because how do you make all that money? You think Jeffrey Bezos is normal?
Right. No, that's a good point. That's a good point. Speaking of normal, happy to have a normal baseball season. Obviously missing a couple games because of that lockout, but this will be the first year since before COVID where everything is good to go. Full capacity. It's going to be fun. Obviously, the Astros don't have a home game until April 18th, but they do have opening day on Thursday. In Anaheim,
right, against the Angels. A team that might be good this coming season, but I think we always expect the Angels to be tremendously disappointing despite having two MVPs. Always makes me laugh at the whole MVP award in baseball. Mike Trout seems to win it every single year, or it's Shohei Ohtani. And, oh, wow, look at their wins above replacement. And they're 77 and, like, 89.
It's funny because Mike Trout was always my, like, even the average person that's not a baseball fan would probably know who he is. It's probably Ohtani now.
Ohtani, to an extent, I think. I feel like people are most excited by Shohei
Ohtani.
But
if you're not a baseball fan is what I'm saying. Like, for people that aren't baseball fans, Mike Trout was the person I'm like, well, they'd probably recognize him.
It's funny, though, because you're right in that I don't think anyone recognizes Mike Trout. I think you would just as easily confuse Mike Trout with, like, J.J. Watt. Like, oh, wow, a nondescript, bulky white guy. Like, I feel like he's not someone that really stands out. With Ohtani, it is different just because he does the pitching and he does hitting as well. And we haven't seen a person that's good at both of those things to the extent that Ohtani is in a really, really long time. So it's great to watch, but it's a good question you ask as far as if you're not a baseball fan, what baseball players would you recognize? I don't know that Ohtani would be number one. I don't know
you
that
don't
he would.
Like, I feel like people don't know sports, he's international. They would at least recognize the name.
His name is definitely also unique because I think a lot of names across baseball are like, oh, okay, this guy sounds like some
Jack
random
Smith.
American. Yeah. Jack Smith. And
Trenton,
like,
Woods.
And Steve Johnson. And Mike Jones. Mark Jones. I feel like that's not necessarily true, though. As far as random baseball player that completely casual observer of sports would definitively recognize, I don't know that Ohtani is quite there. But it will be interesting to see when the Astros go up against him. And also, there's some big news in the American League West today. So the Mariners, a guy that I got to interview in spring a couple of years ago, his name is Julio Rodriguez. He's this larger-than-life personality, big kid. He's like 6'5". Massive. I think he's only 20 years old. So they just announced that he's on their opening day roster. Who knows how that'll go, because the last super prospect they brought up went like 0-for-40 at the plate, got sent down to the minors and ended up hitting like 150 last year, Jared Kelnick. But if the Mariners are going to be good this year, it's these young players that are going to really step up and do scary things. And Rodriguez has been doing that in spring. Mariners, I know John Granato's been joking about it and that Lance has been making fun of him on the bench about how they shouldn't be scared of the Mariners. I do think the Mariners are going to be a pain in the ass this year.
So you think, was that a team that you enjoyed covering in Seattle?
I liked them a lot. In fact, it's weird going forward now, because I know if the Astros play the Mariners, I have to root for the Astros by default going forward. But, I mean, it was a nice little two-year affair that we had, you know? And I feel like I should be allowed to be in an open relationship. Like, why why do I have to be married to just one baseball team?
Were
you
a Red Sox fan growing up?
For a while, and then I quit on them. I spun zone it to myself in that the Red Sox were mean to Terry Francona when they fired him in 2011. So I didn't really like the Red Sox after 2011 the same way I used to. And then when the Astros got good, I was like, yeah, I'm just going to jump on the bandwagon. I don't care. I have no shame there. So, yeah, what's wrong with me liking two baseball teams? I just want both
now
teams
three.
To have fun. Right.
Now
no, I don't like the Red Sox at all anymore. It's weird.
Really?
I know. I'm frowned
You're
upon.
Like, that's like the least Boston thing I've ever heard.
I know. I just don't like them.
Wow.
I know. Only the Astros. And Mariners when they're not
you
playing the
Astros.
You just
got a little less Ben Affleck-y to me.
Is that good or bad?
I
don't have a tramp stamp on my back.
Does he have a tramp stamp?
I think so, yes.
No.
Yeah, I think when he was in his down bad days after his Jennifer Garner relationship ended. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a little bit of that going on.
Together forever. Opening day should be fun, though. What do you think about Jeremy Pena? Look, spring training. Let me start by saying this. I know the games do not mean much. It's spring training. It doesn't matter. But after the news of Correa leaving, all of that, Jeremy Pena had a pretty good weekend.
He's played well this spring, and I mean, that's going to be important, but really what's going to be important is how does he handle his first failure, and does he get on himself? Because if he struggles, I would say that, and the Astros struggle because of Pena's struggles, this fan base is going to come out, and they will be loud, and they will be mad, and they will perhaps boo him at the plate to show anger with the front office of the Astros for not bringing Carlos Correa back. It's not even Pena's fault necessarily.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's always a bummer to be the guy replacing the guy.
Yeah, so hopefully he starts off well, because I feel like if he doesn't, that there is definitely a lot of possibility for, I would say, some real vitriol sent his way, and somewhat deserved vitriol if at least it's coming the Astros' way, not Pena's way. But no matter what he's doing in the spring, just don't have any expectations. You won't be disappointed.
At Todd, the show on Twitch brings up a good point. Do you think Altuve is the most recognized MLB player since the Astros have the most famous team for the past 5 years?
Because of the cheating scandal,
and
too.
And with the scandal, that's a good point.
He is definitely, I think, most universally hated across baseball, which is so
which
weird.
It's dumb is what it is.
I hated that part of the job in Seattle, trying to explain, like, he's a really nice guy, guys. Like, he's a really humble, sweet guy. And everyone's like, oh, but he's the worst cheater of all. Because the Yankee John Boy site put together a YouTube video.
That was terrible.
Where it looked like something on his chest might be a buzzer, which I feel like would be the most distracting thing possible for you if
when
you were in the batter's box.
When people thought the confetti on Josh Reddick, I'll never get over people think the confetti on Josh Reddick was like a buzzer or a microphone
but
or whatever.
Online conspiracy theorists, Vanessa, holy crap. I mean, you know, there's a reason that you can find a group of wannabe super sleuths like in that Netflix movie Don't Bleep with Cats. Like,
that is a show.
People like the Zapruder stuff. I remember going back to earlier this year how there was a fan that was ejected from courtside from a game for saying something that got under LeBron's skin. And this was, I think, in Indiana.
It was in Indiana.
And she walked out of the arena making like a pouty face. And I thought to myself, she seems so collected. There's a part of me that has a hard time believing that she said something to the point that was so vicious that LeBron needed her taken out. Like, I bet it was really cutting and good. Because she was so, like, still in sarcasm mode on her way out. I felt like she must have delivered a haymaker and felt pretty proud of herself for that. Whatever the case happened, I remember everyone started overanalyzing like what was said. And there's a person who I think tweeted out like, yeah, I saw it and it was bad. And then people went online and looked through the video and they saw like, oh, well, this person's Twitter avatar was of a black man. And there was a black person in the crowd and these two avatars match up. He must have seen it. And
it was so bad.
This is what people do. So, of course, they did it with the Astros.
I am into conspiracy theories and all of that, but not the like way down the rabbit hole to where it just makes no sense.
But some
people
are.
And my whole thing with Altuve will always be this. His teammates who admitted to cheating,
like Carlos Beltran,
said that he didn't, that Altuve didn't cheat.
Yeah, there was that.
Carlos Correa said it. So if you're going to be mad at somebody, be mad at one of the guys that admitted that they cheated.
Yeah, and the problem is, though, for any player that's associated with that, and I saw it too with the Patriots, like, doesn't matter. You are that forever. And every small little thing that takes place after the fact, even if there's nothing to it, they will continuously point at you and say, oh, well, the one time you did this, of course you did that, and that means that you're a horrible person, etc. So with this Astro stuff, it's been annoying seeing Carlos Beltran's comments, and I'm sure that that interview is probably like airing right now, so we'll maybe be able to get some bits of it by the end of the show today, Vanessa. But it was interesting seeing that Carlos Beltran essentially went on the Yes Network, which is the Yankees broadcast network, and he did essentially what you would expect somebody on state-run media to do, mm-hmm. to like say, like, I apologize for my actions. They were wrong actions. Everything that we did in Houston was bad, especially when we won the 2017
ALCS. But
he said
they would have stopped it if they would have been told.
Right.
That's BS.
It is BS. Because no one was going to tell him. It seems like some people, Brian McCann and others, went up to him and said, look, this is wrong. A.J. Hinch, in his own way, went against him. But it really does feel like Carlos Beltran did a bit of a mutiny on this Astros team when it came to just how far they went with the sign stealing. And Alex Cora obviously joined in, too.
Pitching, a big story for the Astros this season. Jake Kaplan, who does coverage for The Athletic, said Jose Urquidy, who's starting today, has been working to implement a fifth pitch, a shorter slider slash cutter. Still throwing his slower sweeping slider too, though it notably performed worse in 21 than the past. So that's a big storyline with the Astros coming up this season, is of course the pitching roster. All right, listen up. If you own your home, listen to me. Our friends at TGS Insurance Agency are going to deliver big savings, and you don't even have to talk to an agent. We know you're probably paying too much for your home insurance, but you don't shop for better rates because it's a huge hassle. It no longer needs to be. They've built a new system at TGS that instantly shops over 36 carriers, and you get a full quote in 15 seconds using nothing but a single text message. So take your phone right now and text the word money to 232323. Their system is going to ask for your home address, send it back, and you get your full quote in less than 15 seconds. The company and the savings are legit. Their online rating is nearly perfect, and their average customer from last year, guys, saved over $870 on home insurance. Nobody likes to shop for it, but TGS makes it the easiest it's ever been. So one more time, get out your phone and text money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323 and get your home insurance quote. Save big today.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
It's a game time decision for Tiger Woods, is what he had told
the
media.
The Masters. An event unlike any other. Man, it's hard watching him go back out there because you know that his body is legitimately falling apart. Knees, back, etc. You want him out there too. Isn't it weird to think, though, that someone like Tiger Woods can go back out golfing and there's like legitimately a chance that he's going to re-aggravate something and it's going to hurt. It's going to look bad.
He was in an accident that was so bad that, A, do you remember the term was they had used the jaws of life to get him out of the car, meaning they had to extract him with a machine. And then it was like, well, there's no way he ever golfs again.
Right.
It's great he survived, but there's no way he ever golfs again. And then here we are.
Both the tibia and fibula in his right leg. Ow. Ow, 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 ow. Look, we'll see. I mean, we're all... I think even if you hate him, you're still rooting for him, right? Because it's just more entertaining when you see Tiger Woods and it's the last couple of holes of the final round. He's wearing the red and he's within striking distance. That's what you are watching for. It's a lame and cliche way to talk about golf, but that's pretty much how I feel just about every single time as a casual observer of golf and someone who hates playing it because I'm so bad at it. It's one of those things, though, where I hope he's out there, and it does seem like it's going to be possible, and there will be, I think, quite the buzz this coming weekend if he is able to get going on Thursday.
I mean, again, it's kind of like what we talked about, people that don't even like baseball, who would they recognize? Everybody knows Tiger Woods.
Yes.
Even if you live under a rock.
Mm-hmm.
This would be huge for the Masters. I'm also excited tonight, 6 p.m. on Golf Central Live from the Masters on the Golf Channel. Never before seen footage of 6-year-old Tiger Woods golfing. Very excited for that because I love history.
He's so much better than all of us at age six. no matter how many lessons you've taken, how many times you've gone to the driving range, like this little small human child would have destroyed you probably if you were to go one-on-one. And yeah, the only way that you would be able to make that an enjoyable experience for yourself is if you brought yourself a six-pack of something and just said, yeah, well, all right, I'm just out here on the course. Doesn't matter that a six-year-old is abusing me and humiliating
me. It's the definition, too, of a prodigy, right? Because, yeah. Like, it's nature versus nurture, because obviously he was always going to be a prodigy, but when you see him that good, that young, it's absolutely insane. So we will see, hoping to have Tiger Woods news soon, and hope everybody has a good week. I have some friends covering it. So jealous.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Looks gorgeous. Meanwhile, Deshaun Watson, the trade that almost was but never was to the Atlanta Falcons, of course, we know we all were there. It was allegedly between the Saints and the Falcons, and
right.
Then he decided to pull the Browns back into it. But Arthur Blank kind of trying to downplay how much they wanted Deshaun Watson. Now, remember, Quavo and the Migos and every professional athlete in Atlanta was texting Deshaun Watson. They were rolling out the red carpet. It was the only city that he visited instead of them visiting him here. And Arthur Blank chose to use the word at owners' meetings. We explored it enough to where we spent some time with him for maybe an hour and 15 minutes. He and his agent and trainer or something. So, I mean, it got to that stage. And then he used the word exploratory. This reminds me of George W. Bush when he said strategery. I know exploratory is technically a real word, but exploratory.
They are all looking for ways to spin this. Much like Deshaun Watson kept saying the same three things when he was pushed into a corner during the interview that he and the Cleveland Browns did in that introductory press conference a couple of weeks ago. Other teams are trying to find ways to spin this. And the Falcons have to, because they just ran off their best player in franchise history in the process. I mean, Matt Ryan is now a member of the Indianapolis Colts, and it was a rather unceremonious, hey, we're going to kick you out the door because we're in pursuit of this guy who is a child, you know, and Deshaun Watson, who clearly can't control his wants and desires in certain situations, allegedly, I guess I have to say. But yeah, Vanessa, the quote, we explored it enough to where we spent some time with him for maybe an hour and 15 minutes. He and his agent and trainer or something. So, I mean, it got to that stage. So it was a worthwhile use of our time. We had an opportunity to understand things from his perspective and ask some questions and what have you. But after that, we didn't really have any further interaction with either the Texans to speak of or with his agent. And again, my ass. No, you can't say that. You guys were all in on him. It was just exploratory.
They literally moved Matt Ryan's roster bonus date. Mm-hmm. It was way more than exploratory.
They moved it to next. Yeah, they moved it to Tuesday. You're
right. I'm just a very, like, own it person. Like, just say you really wanted him. You rolled out the red carpet. And in the process, you made your quarterback mad enough to where he wanted to go elsewhere.
He continued saying, I think for us, to the level of pursuit that we had, the exploratory stage, I think it was the right thing to do. Would it have made sense to go further than that? It would depend on, you know, what a much more intensive process would have revealed or discussions we would have had. Shut up. Like, you were going to look any further into this after you had this conversation with Deshaun Watson? You'd done all that you thought you needed to check off the boxes so people won't come at you, say you were to bring in Deshaun Watson to the full degree that they could come after you. Because if you did no due diligence, okay, then that's going to get out and you're going to look bad. We'll do a little bit of due diligence, but we don't actually want answers here. We don't want to hear from the accusers. We don't want any of that. We want to have plausible deniability in this situation. But yeah, he keeps on going back. The word explore is the key word. I would say exploring it. And we matched the amount of work we were doing to the word exploring. And it wasn't more than that. It was less than that. That was the commitment we made. Unbelievable.
And we know that Tony Busby had said that the NFL, as well as these teams, never contacted him or the women. So for him to say that it was, I mean, it's clear that nobody did their due diligence in that regard, and I think we kind of expected that. But for him to say that it was exploratory is such BS. And in the process, again, you lose Matt Ryan, who Matt Ryan is a class act. So his whole thing was he wasn't going to leave Atlanta unless it was for Indianapolis because he wanted to go somewhere where the pieces were around and blah, blah, blah. But if you're Matt Ryan and you saw the tweet that his wife liked, and you know that you're not being appreciated for everything that you've done, I think Matt Ryan's smart enough to where he understood it. But yeah, if you see that they're rolling out the red carpet for him, after everything he's alleged to have done. That was a big, I think what Arthur Blank is trying to do is rewrite history and make it sound like they didn't treat Matt Ryan that way.
This is akin to your significant other of a long period of time.
Okay.
Sees you out for a very cozy drink with someone you know, and someone that you know is not exactly the best character as far as...
Are you still with your significant other at this time?
Maybe things are a little bit rocky. I think that they were getting a little bit rocky in this situation. And then that person, after you caught them having this one-on-one, says that I was being exploratory. I was just being exploratory, honey. You know, like, we've been together a really long time, and I'm trying to explore new things that I like. It just sounds so terrible.
And your answer is no, you were trying to get some action.
No, I was exploring it.
Right.
I wasn't trying to get anything, Vanessa. I was exploring it. I was exploring this sexy quarterback who is a top five player who I was just exploring like what I like in a relationship. It's funny, though. You're in this commitment, but it's exploring. I think it's a good excuse to try to use going forward. Fellas in the doghouse, see what the word exploratory does for you. And then text in 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN.
I mean, it's just such BS. And I think that the teams that put their neck out there for Deshaun Watson and also offered what Nick Caserio wanted in exchange, so they met that minimum threshold, which was, of course, those four Panthers, Saints, Browns, and then the Falcons. That means that all of them had to give essentially a presentation of what they were willing to give.
Mm-hmm.
And the teams that didn't match that didn't even meet with Deshaun Watson.
Correct.
I mean, we know this for a fact because Nick Caserio confirmed it in the press conference. So acting like you were just semi-interested, just admit that you dove in headfirst, that you were all in, that you wanted a generational talent quarterback, and that you didn't care that he was being accused of these things. I feel like people respect that more than saying, and this is why Arthur Blank isn't the brightest owner.
What you should say is, it's a competitive league. We leave no stone unturned. But then that also kind of gets you down the same path of exploratory. I don't know, Vanessa, that there really is a good way to do it. Because the honesty, I think some people would appreciate it, but other people would be like, oh, deplorable. They're willing to admit that they're willing to be honest with us and show us just really how little moral fiber this league has. There's probably an element of them where they're like, I don't know. I don't know if we can do that. But it is something else that everybody is acting like they weren't a part of this after the fact. And good for the Texans being the one crystal clear party coming out of this one. The one with an absolutely spotless, at least in this specific situation, public character, public facing character to show to the rest of the world.
I'm glad you said that because the Texans do keep their morals straight as far as who they bring in. They're not the team that brings in guys that have a bunch of domestic violence charges and all of that. That is worth mentioning.
It is worth mentioning. Some people get mad about that and say, like, no, you need to get criminals. You need to go get the entire boat that in the Dark Knight that was going to blow up that, you know, boat of families, you know? You need to get all those criminals. The one guy who takes the remote and throws it into the water. That guy, the Texans need him on the defensive line. Look at him. He only has one eye. That guy.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, NCAA tournament happening tonight, the final game, Kansas versus UNC. Who do you guys got? And now that Coach K is done, who are some of the most powerful coaches in sports? That's next.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Warrior sound!
Real. Let's go! Fun. Sports.
Hey, soccer fans, Glenn Davis here. Thank you for supporting Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by presenting sponsor, the Daspit Law Firm. Don't forget, join me for the best in soccer talk and football talk weekly on ESPN 97.5.
By texting 64,000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Rhythm Energy. Message and data rates may apply. Text stop to cancel. Terms apply. Available at rhythm.com/terms. Copyright Rhythm 2022 PUCT number 10279.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, and we are rolling along on a Monday. Thanks for joining us, guys. I'm Vanessa Richardson at Sports Vanessa. I forgot my own name there for a second.
It happens.
Paul Gallant at Gallant Says. Our producer is Sean Mapes. You can hear us on 97.5, 92.5, of course. Stream us on Twitch or hear us on the ESPN app.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing? How's your Monday going?
The voice is surviving somehow.
Your voice sounds better than when it started.
It does? Interesting.
A lot. Sean, yes? Don't you think it sounds better?
Yeah, you really played yourself into shape on this one.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, you just knocked off all the gunk. You had some good coughs in the break.
So. Oh, yeah. It's really productive coughs to get that phlegm out.
Like, you sounded not good, and now you sound almost normal.
I've been drinking just hot water for the entirety of the show.
Have you really?
Yeah, I have.
Oh.
The big problem right now is that I am feeling intense sinus pressure. And this is from the allergies. It is right now, it is just intense. And it was a little bit over the last couple of days, but it's tricky when you got allergies, Vanessa, where I take like a pill. I do the neti pot every morning and then do the Flonase stuff too. And I'm feeling like I need to do more because it always gets to this point, like once a year, the allergies here just absolutely kill me.
I'll get there too. I do Claritin or Zyrtec and then a lot of Emergen-C.
Emergen-C might be the next step.
The neti pot I cannot do.
Do I sound cooler right now?
You're trying right now.
Now
so
I
no.
know I am. So
but
I'm really
when you
rolling
were,
into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I told you. You had the sexy Nick Nolte, you know, you had that sound. Call HR on me.
I've been around the block. I sound like Batman. Where's the Joker?
Oh, God. as we roll along on this Monday, obviously, huge story with the national champion tonight between UNC, between Kansas, Hubert Davis versus Bill Self.
Hubert versus Bill.
So it's going to be interesting. I don't think anything could possibly top the Duke-UNC game, but this should be a good one tonight.
That was a really good game back and forth, and it kind of stunk that it didn't end on a buzzer beater or something like that, but that's really the only thing you could point at with the Duke-North Carolina game. But I'm looking at Kansas right now, and it's hard to imagine with how they dispatched of a very good Villanova team. It's really hard to imagine Kansas not getting that 100% level, and for me, it's hard to see North Carolina matching what they did. Again, they've been doing it all tournament. They've been surprising everybody along this entire road. But I just think such an emotional high to come down from beating your arch rival in your first ever Final Four appearance when you're clearly the underdog just based off of the entirety of this season. And you beat them for a second straight time in a way that was completely unexpected. How do you match that? And if they are able to match it, I'll give Hubie Davis a ton of credit. I mean, that is an almost impossible task, I think, to recenter a bunch of 19, 18-year-olds after doing something really incredible less than 48 hours later.
I was not happy with the fact that the Final Four was all blue bloods. I would have liked to have seen whatever, St. Peter's, like one of the Cinderella stories, make it all the way. But I think this will be a good matchup. You brought up an interesting point that did cause some discussion over our Twitter and our text line. Since Mike Krzyzewski is retiring,
yeah,
the list of powerhouse coaches, like legends, has shrunk a little bit. So you asked, who is that powerhouse coach?
Right.
Who are the most powerful coaches in all of sports, both professional and college? And I think there's a lot of arguments both ways. My answer would be Bill Belichick.
Yep.
But the last couple years, he has not produced.
Correct. And now we're seeing him without Tom Brady, and it takes a little bit of the shine off of the old resume. I think with Greg Popovich, you're seeing something similar. With Pete Carroll, you're seeing something similar. And these are guys who have been considered to be great coaches for two decades plus. Now, all of a sudden, it's not quite the same. Who else is in that conversation has to 100% be Nick Saban at the top of it all. But after that, things are changing a little bit on that front. I mean, Andy Reid, I think everyone respects Andy Reid a great deal, but are you going to put Andy Reid in that same conversation with all the times that the Eagles and then the Chiefs have come up short? I don't know that you necessarily can with him. Across college football, who else is there after Nick Saban? I mean, Ohio State's had multiple coaches where you can't just say it was Urban Meyer,
right,
it was Jim Tressel. You know, there were two guys that were there. Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, I mean, they finally beat Ohio State. So, you know, you're not really doing it with him. He's probably the most one of the most recognizable coaches out there, but he's not the guy. You got any ones that we haven't thought of? I mean, Bill Self is one that comes to mind now, but Bill Self and Kansas have been consistent more than they've been like a team that you look at and you're like, yeah.
They're going
to
win.
Bill Self is going to steal my soul, even though, you know, Duke has had some similar
disappointments. Someone on Twitter said Izzo.
Tom Izzo
would be a good one.
Michigan State, but it's, you know, still the same kind of.
Is he winning enough championships for that to?
Right, I feel like Izzo's sort of in the same realm as Self. That's not a net negative either. Coach K, I mean, is also the coach of Team USA basketball. He's just got a leg up on all these other guys across
college
sports.
It's a really good point.
You know, like that part of it. Him walking out of it, it's. Gonna be weird.
Dabo Sweeney says 9907.
Yeah, you could make that case. I don't hate it. I think Clemson right now is in a bit of a, and just with what they were last year, I think now all of a sudden Clemson doesn't look like they're that far removed from everybody else in the ACC. That could obviously change a year later. But the back-to-back run, they had Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence. Not every program can keep that up every single year the way that Alabama has been.
It's definitely an interesting question. The other thing, let's see. UConn's women coach, yeah, Gino.
Gino Auriemma.
11-1 in championship game, says 6-4-3-4. You could definitely also get into the pro versus college.
God,
and I think when you're talking
one?
About college, that's
Holy
insane.
Crap.
Gino's definitely in that
last
conversation.
Last night, I guess, was the one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dawn Staley getting it done. She always looks fabulous, by the way.
She was having herself a time. I saw the video of her cutting down the nets, and she had this very funny look on her face while she was doing it. Other ones, man, it's hard to think of. You got one, Trevor? Jeez, Trevor, God, Sean,
Trevor.
I'm sorry. God dang.
What just happened?
I don't know, man.
Is it the allergies?
It's the
allergies. Blame it on the allergies.
I'll blame it on the allergies, Sean. Thank
How about
you.
I own a coach, Rick Pitino?
Rick Pitino, but he's been disgraced.
Now disgraced.
Yeah.
Coach Jay Wright is like my next real answer.
Jay Wright's good. Jay
Two
Wright's
titles,
a good one.
Yeah,
and I mean, they made it to the Final Four this year. So, okay. From a college basketball perspective.
It's just hard because so many of the guys, Calipari, Self, Izzo, they all have one title each. So it's hard to kind of give them that nod.
Calipari, Self,
Izzo.
They only have one?
Mm-hmm.
Both of them? Oh, wow. Oh, that makes sense with Calipari. Self also, that makes sense. Huh, okay. Yeah, I can't really think of any other ones. I mean, Juwan Howard has the most power in his hand because he slapped the guy. That was cool. You know, that was nice. But, I mean, they are barely an NIT team.
6-4-3-4 says Belichick for sure. Yeah, I think when you look at totality, like when they retire, what will their legacy be? I would tend to think that it would be Belichick. But to your point, if you're talking about right now, who is the powerhouse coach that you know if their team's in it, they're going to win?
Yeah.
That's not Belichick right now.
How many are in the NFL these days?
Yeah.
I outside of Belichick. Cause
Popovich NBA, see, but the Spurs haven't been.
No, it's like the last couple of years for both Belichick and Popovich. Obviously, they're great, but the last couple of years, they're like, oh, okay, they can't turn water into wine every single time. John Harbaugh's been consistent, but I don't think he's that guy.
There's a whole bunch of guys, it seems like, in college basketball, the NFL, NBA, that are like the next step down, where
right.
They're a little too young. They're not, I mean, Coach K coached for 40 years.
That's
right.
True.
It's a really good point.
That's true. God, 40 years doing any one the same job.
He's in his 70s.
Yeah, he's 75.
75.
Right?
And he doesn't dye his hair.
You don't think he does?
No, that's what he told everybody.
Oh, yeah.
He's actually like, he's steadfastly denied this. And he says, like, well, I'm balding. Why would I dye my hair? Which is actually, it's not a bad point. I'll say this about my own dad. My dad has black hair, and it is still pretty dang black. Like, it hasn't gotten gray yet, which is making me hopeful for the future. But then there's
my
a part of me.
My mom's hot. That makes me feel good.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that wants to have white hair at some point, though. There's
Be this, like a silver fox?
There is this guy I saw, Vanessa, when we were getting off of Yacht Week in Croatia back in 2019, which is like the greatest experience of my life, that vacation. There was this guy who was sitting in like a boat in the dock in Dubrovnik, and I remembered seeing him, and I took a picture of him, and I like look at this every now and then, and I'm like, am I going to be this guy when I'm 67?
Yeah,
I want to be this guy, just on a boat with like just completely like my hair is like all just like up in the air from like salt, and I just looked like a badass.
And you'll still be on dating apps.
whatever's next.
So you have a picture of a Croatian stranger on your phone that you look at every once in a while.
Every now and then I look at it. Yeah, you got to. Just got to know, like, this is goals, life goals. Hashtag blessed, hashtag so blessed, hashtag he's blessed, hashtag I'm not blessed.
Yeah, everybody's blessed. 8693 says, as of coaching impact over the last few years and present, Kelvin Sampson.
That's a good one.
Kelvin Sampson's legacy is definitely growing.
But you wouldn't. I don't think people would put him up on that national.
No,
because
not with,
of not just because of, you know, hey, he hasn't won anything with UH, but also the cheating stuff. Like he's kind of not part of that by default entirely because of things that we were mad about 20 years ago that we don't even give a damn about
it's
today.
Unbelievable. And being from Indiana, I still, when UH was in that Final Four, there were some tweets, there were some angry Facebook comments about Kelvin Sampson when they were in the Final Four last year. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to wrap up a Monday, talk a little about Tiger Woods, y'all, as well as an NFL owner who said that Deshaun Watson's contract could make things difficult on their franchise. That's next.
97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we're rolling along on a Monday. Will he or won't he? We are waiting to hear if Tiger Woods is going to be playing in the Masters, and we should know soon.
We should. I imagine we'll also hear more of what Carlos Beltran had to say with Michael Kay about
that. Full interview should be happening now.
Right. So I'm sure you'll hear it in its totality at some point later on right here, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We did get a couple of texts to our last conversation because with Coach Kay now gone, who is the preeminent, most powerful coach in all of sports? And I don't think there's anyone that's on Nick Saban's level right now. But a texter makes a good point. Y'all really not going to include Bill O'Brien or David Culley?
Aww.
I mean, that's a good point.
David Culley was at the Rockets game again the other night. And he looked good. He took some selfies with people. He was smiling.
Bill O'Brien was very powerful. He was powerful.
Powerful is one word for it.
Too powerful, perhaps.
David Culley, nice guy.
Yep, but
I want him to go on a lot of vacations with that massive payout he got.
Nice guy does not win you games. And,
I know.
It's one of those weird things where, of course, like you don't wish any ill on him. He wasn't like a jerk outwardly like O'Brien could be from time to time. But at the same time, too, I had no confidence in him going forward as the head coach. We'll see with Lovie Smith. He's done it before. I don't know that this time is necessarily going to be different. And I don't believe it either.
Let's see. Yeah, 6434 says I'd be smiling too if I get a free $20 million for sitting at the house. Yeah, I mean, that was his contract though.
It is funny too the way that some people were coming out in defense of him. Obviously, the Texans were an easy punching bag and will continue to be an easy punching bag until they win again. But a lot of the national media types who were like, "It's disgusting that the Texans fired David Culley." Is it? I mean, they hired him. I don't think many people wanted the job. They moved on.
Meanwhile, Katie Blackbird, owner of the Cincinnati Bengals, talked about how Deshaun Watson's guaranteed contract could impact other quarterbacks. Now, Steve Bisciotti kind of started this discussion, owner of the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, he started whining because the Lamar Jackson contract now might be all guaranteed, and he's possibly an injury-prone player.
Katie Blackburn telling Jay Morrison of The Athletic, in part, quote, "We work in a world where we realize other contracts have some effects. So we'll have to see where all that stands when it comes to the time. At some point, we're going to pay the cap amount, so we just have to find a way to make that work in the best interest of the team." Of course, Burrow is well-positioned to cash in once he's able to sign a new contract. And you got to think that he's looking at Deshaun Watson's deal like, "Oh, I've been to a Super Bowl, bud."
Yeah, I would think so. And I wonder how this is all going to go down. Going forward, though, it's hard to imagine a quarterback settling for anything less. If you are worthy of it, than a fully guaranteed salary. If Kirk Cousins can get it, why can't somebody else? That would be what I would be pointing to. I wouldn't necessarily be pointing to Deshaun Watson. I'd be saying, he got it all. Why can't I get it all? I'd also probably want to put a no-trade clause in there because that's given Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson the flexibility to go to the places that they wanted to. Watson wanted to go to Cleveland probably because it was of all the situations, not just because of the money. The money was the biggest factor. Don't get it twisted. But I think the reason that money was able to get, because I bet any of these teams would have probably paid Watson the same kind of money that the Browns offered had they known that that was on the table. I think he looked at them and he was like, well, they do have, of all the teams that were in the finalists, the Saints and the Falcons, they were by far the best one. So I think now you're going to see quarterbacks looking for the no-trade clause so that they can force their way to a team that they wanted. Russell Wilson only wanted to go to Denver. He didn't want to go anywhere else. Got to Denver pretty easily.
If you are Lee Steinberg or if you're David Mulligetta, of course, David Mulligetta is the one that negotiated the deal in Cleveland to begin with.
Mulligetta.
You are definitely looking at this as the mold of how you can empower your clients at a time when player empowerment is huge. Meanwhile, in Washington, Daniel Snyder, can it get any worse? The answer appears to repeatedly be yes, after reports that he was possibly stealing from the Washington Commanders, withholding visiting teams' ticket revenue. This has to get you stripped of ownership, no?
You would think. You would think, if it's assuming it's true, too, yes, this is the one thing that you can't do. It's one thing if you're sexually harassing everything that moves or having people on your staff record porn, essentially, of some of the women that are both cheerleaders or perhaps just actual people in day-to-day business roles, too. It's another entirely when you start biting the hands of all of the other hands in the NFL that share the same dinner table with you. And that's definitely happening right now. That is something that I choose to believe is happening without any basis of proof or evidence. Screw Daniel Snyder. He sucks. Like, why do you want him here? If I'm an NFL owner, I'm trying to find a way. I'm going to plant evidence somewhere. I will falsify as much as I need to get this loser out. Because he's a loser. He is in the same club as all of them and is a loser.
It's just sad that it takes stealing ticket revenue instead of all of the other terrible, terrible things that he's done.
Like having two books where he reported one book and the other book he had to the side of the actual books for Washington. He has done you're right, Vanessa, this used to be one of the best organizations in the NFL. They were. I mean, they've always had a bit of racism going on in that organization, like going all the way back to the actual nickname, but to their owner afterwards and stuff. But this used to be one of the most successful teams year in, year out. Like the 70s, 80s, they were awesome. Early 90s. And ever since Daniel Snyder's taken over, they've been a joke. I remember there was a point where I saw their valuation. Like, they were the most valuable franchise in the NFL at a certain point in time. I was like, how?
Yeah.
Their stadium sucks. They're not good.
Terrible stadium.
Right.
Terrible stadium. Meanwhile, Colin Kaepernick got a chance to throw at halftime of Michigan's spring game.
I get it.
You look exhausted.
Well, Jim Harbaugh and him obviously work together with the San Francisco 49ers. But, like, what benefit does this do to Michigan? I don't see it. He's a Nevada grad. Excuse me, a Nevada alum. Nevada ex-athlete? I don't even know if he graduated. So, okay, great. He's here. And he's trying his hardest to get people to give him a tryout, but there's a part of me that feels like he wants more to have the attention on him because he has been somewhat forgotten the last 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I don't – and, like, you could say good, bad, or indifferent. He definitely wants attention. Attention. He signed endorsement deals and has repeatedly tried to get tryouts.
Is he really blackballed? I mean, I just,
yeah, I don't know if he, I mean, look, I mean, I think that's up for debate, but I do think
he
was at one point, and I think at this point now, he's been out of the league for, 5 years?
It's been a while. It's been 6 years or so, something like that, and I understand the idea that you were blackballed at one point, where there's definitely no way that you could have argued that there are 90 quarterbacks in the NFL, because each team usually has, three quarterbacks or so? Some have two. So 32 times three. We're talking like 95, 96 quarterbacks. We're really saying that there's 95 better quarterbacks in the United States of America than Colin Kaepernick. You could maybe make the case like 30 to 40. Fine. And maybe it's too big of a distraction to have someone like him as a backup quarterback on your roster where people are going to be asking him about things when no one really should give a damn about what he has to say. But at this point, it's not being blackballed anymore. He's not being blackballed. We've moved beyond that part.
A legend retires in Houston, John McClain, stepping away from his role as the Houston Chronicle. And you found some fun tidbits about Mr. McClain.
Oh, yeah. So this was in the Football Morning in America this morning by Peter King. It's in NBC Sports. So I've heard some pretty funny McClain stories. I mean, McClain once told me a story about like how he just got I think he witnessed a stabbing or something like that once, and then it was just like, oh, just no big deal, just like your run of the mill New Orleans like stabbings. He would have to tell you that story better. And I don't remember it off the top of my head. I just remember one day being like, wait, what? Like, he just brought it up like casual and
what
passing.
A legend.
But this other story is amazing. So anyone remember Sammy Baugh? Speaking of Washington, like Sammy Baugh was a quarterback for the Washington Redskins back in like the 30s and 40s. He was at TCU way back in the day. So in 1998, Sammy Baugh was the last surviving member of the first Hall of Fame class. In 1963. This is the story he tells Peter King. He was 84 and lived on a ranch in West Texas outside a town called Roland. A friend of mine called Cowboy Bill Lamza knew Sammy and asked if I could set up an interview for me with Sammy. We flew to Lubbock, drove to Sammy's ranch. Sammy was great, told great stories about football in the 30s and 40s, his minor league baseball life. He played minor league with guys on the St. Louis Cardinals back in the day. I get great stuff from here, 5 hours of tape. We go to leave and Sammy, a great host, gives us peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the road. And I ask him, why'd you choose to live way out here? And he says he lives way loving in the out in the country. He says, anytime I want to take a piss, I can come out here and take it right off my porch. And he says, I got to take one now. You want to join me? So John McClain and Sammy Baugh pissed off of the back porch. I got to take a piss with one of the greatest players in NFL history.
What a great moment.
That's just guys being guys.
John McClain, the best, by the way.
Dudes being dudes, peeing off of a porch.
A new study, our producer Sean put this in for
peeing
you, I believe.
Amazing.
Cat owners are seen as better looking and have more sex, research suggests. Polly G, can you confirm?
I mean, duh. Look at me.
Oh, God.
Look at me. Don't I look like I have a cat?
6434 says raspy Polly G is amazing. The rasp has gotten better, though.
We want to keep it raspy going forward.
Yeah.
When I get aggressive, when I get angry and upset, I really will sound like Nick Nolte. I didn't get mad today.
You didn't get mad today. You were very chill.
But I could be like Nick Nolte. This is ridiculous. Eddie Murphy, 48 hours.
All right, that wraps up a Monday. You got Jeremy Branham and Joel Blank, the Killer Bees, coming up next from 12 to 3 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Have a great day, guys.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.